okay, there was a Yid who lived here in Crown Heights. His name was Rav Zalman Deitch, Oliver Sholem. When the Rebbe started Mitzvah Mezuzah, the campaign to help people have put up mezuzahs in their house, he was very active. And after a long day in business, he worked in the textile industry, he would personally go on Mitzvah Mezuzah many times during the week. Sometimes he would take his wife. That was their, would have an evening out sometimes, going on Mitzvah. And sometimes he would take one of his kids. One time, it was a 4th of July weekend, and he took his son, Mendy Deitch. At that time, he was approximately 11 years old. They came to the house, the address, and it was a huge mansion in a cul-de-sac. And it was clear that there was a huge 4th of July party, and it didn't take long to figure out that the party was coming from that house that they were supposed to go to. So Reb Zalman takes his Mendy, they go to the house, and the owner is Taka Yid, and he's so excited to see them, beer in one hand, yeah, come in. And he starts showing them around the house where to put up the mezuzahs. Let's just say, the things he saw in that house is not what his father expected him to see. And he got an education that an Oli Teirinik otherwise would not have gotten for many years. So they go through the house, one room after the next, but they put up the mezuzahs. Then they leave, and they're in the car on the way home. Try to put yourself into the little boy's head for a little bit. He's sitting in the car. He knows what he just saw. He knows that his father knows what he just saw. But how does a kid like that start the conversation with his father? Or put yourself in the father's shoes. You just exposed your kid to something you were not expecting. What do you tell your kid? So let's leave them in the car for a little bit. They'll have some time to think about it. Part of it is something based in Mishnah, first Mishnah in this week's Perek. The first Mishnah is, I actually don't have a siddur in front of me. The first lesson in the Mishnah is Ben Zoyma Oymer. Ben Zoyma Oymer. Eizehu Chacham, Haloimed Mikol Adam. Who is wise? Someone who learns from everybody. Shenemar Mikol Malamdai Hiskalti. From all my teachers, I became smarter. Ki Eidvaisecha Sichali. Because your mitzvahs were a Sicha for me. David HaMelech says, I learned from many, many teachers. So from here we learn. Who is the wise one? Someone who learns from everyone. And the Mishnah continues about who is strong, and who's rich, and who's honorable. We're going to talk just about that first one. What does that mean? Eizehu Chacham, who's wise, he learns from everybody. Let's just think about this logically. A kid comes home, and he sits down by the supper table, and he starts putting spaghetti up his nose. And you say, Shmerel, where'd you learn that from? He says, Beryl does this by lunch. I always wanted to try it. You say, so Beryl does it. You don't eat that way. He says, but what do you mean? Our Rebbe taught us, Eizehu Chacham Haloimed Mikol Adam. We have to learn from everybody. So obviously, what does it mean? Haloimed Mikol Adam? Yeah, you learn what to do. You learn what to do. Fine, you learn good things. But still, you learn it from everybody? If you wanted to give your kid piano lessons, and your kid says, okay, where are we going to get the lessons? Then you say, oh, Mikol Adam, anyone. Whoever's teaching lessons, we'll just take them as a teacher. It's also not going to work. In fact, what? Okay, you could learn what not to do. Very good, we'll get to that. Some of the Mefarshim on this Mishnah therefore say that's what the Mishnah is saying. Some of the Rishonim, they say, that, you know what Eizehu Chacham Haloimed Mikol Adam means? A wise person chooses specialists. He learns each subject from the specialist in that field. So that very, but that very much limits the mission. Eizehu chacham halemid mikol adam, he's able to find the right person for each topic. There's another issue here, though. It's a much deeper one. It's really the key to the Mishnah. But it's a question. The Gemara says a story. There was a Tana called Elisha ben Avuya. And he was a big Talmud Chacham. But then he went off the way of Teiru Mitzvahs. Rabbi Meir was in his time. And Rabbi Meir still went to learn Teiru from him. It's a long story in Gemara Chagiga about the back and forth between him and Elisha ben Avuya. But the Gemara there says, how did Rabbi Meir learn Torah from him? How was he allowed to someone who doesn't believe in what he's teaching, someone who's not an example of the Torah mitzvahs, you're not allowed to learn from them. You know what the Gemara answers? Rabbi Meir was allowed to. Not everybody's allowed to. True. Rabbi Meir was capable, it says he found a rima, and he found pomegranate. He ate the fruit, and he threw away the shell, the peel he threw away. He was able to take the good from Elisha ben Avuya and leave the no good. But it's not for everybody. There's a very chashuv sefer on this mission in Pirkei Avos called Divri Avos from the Buchacher Rav. Very prominent Rav around the times of the Mittel Rebbe, Tzemach Tzedek, the Rebbeim bring him a lot. And he says pshat in this Mishnah, that it's not for everybody. Eizehu chacham, you want to know who's a real chacham? Someone who reached the level of Rabbi Meir. That he's able to learn something good from everyone, even if the person is not a good example. Again, that Mishnah, though, makes this very, very limited. And I'm going to assume that anyone here, especially if you have a little background in Chassidus, this seems to contradict everything we know. To learn that Baal Shem Tov's lesson is that everything, not just everyone, everything you see and hear is a lesson in Avodas Hashem. How do you reconcile this with this Mishnah, which seems to say we're very limited? Eizehu chacham halemid mikol adam, you can't just learn from anyone. Only certain people could learn from everyone. That's what it seems like. So what does the Mishnah actually mean? So there's another story said about Rashi. The story, the way that Rebbe repeats the story, he says, teachers typically repeat this story when they teach about the Eifoid. And Parshas Tetzaveh, you know, you're learning to be teachers. Yeah, we learned it in the Parsha class. Very good. That when Rashi gives the pirush on the ephod, he says, what's the ephod? What kind of ephod was it? The kind that noble women wear when they ride horses. So says the Rebbe, there's a story that teachers say when they repeat this Rashi. And the story goes like this. Rashi was once walking on the street. And as he was walking, he saw a French noble woman riding on a horse. Rashi was very disturbed by the scene. Rashi, a tzaddik like that, should see. It's a very not edel a thing to look at. The Gemara says that a woman riding on a horse is not even nice to say the word roichev. The Torah doesn't even use the term roichev by a woman riding. It's not appropriate. Rashi was disturbed by having to see this. And he was bothered by it. Till he came to get Parshas Tetzaveh. And he had to figure out what did the ephod look like. And then he chaptich, oh. From what I'm seeing in Sfarim, my heart tells me that it looked just like that apron. That ephod that the French noblewoman was wearing. Says the Rebbe like this. Rashi here is teaching, I'm teaching a little kid who's learning Chumash and Rashi, an absolutely fundamental lesson that the Baal Shem Tov is credited for, but Rashi is really the first one to teach it in Chumash. And the lesson is that the world is not a free-for-all. If you go, a yid goes out, and by chance, he or she sees something very disturbing. It could be taka very disturbing, and we don't know what to do with ourselves. Imagine you're taking a ride on the subway, and you're about to get up for your stop, right before your stop, you see someone in the same car as you is beating their child. Obviously not the Fruma Yid, Chas V'Shalom. There's nothing you could do about it. You walk out of the subway, and that's exactly the way you're reacting. I would react the same way. Wow. There's nothing I could do about it. Poor kid, I could say Akapitl Tillim. Besides all that, why did I have to see that? Why did I have to see that? Let me see, let me try to get that memory out of my head. It's so disturbing. That's if the world is just a free-for-all and things happen by chance. Then there are some things we want to call mistakes, should not have happened. Better just forget about it. Comes the Baal Shem Tov and says everything that happens is precise. So Rashi is teaching us that lesson. Rashi says there's a reason why I had to see it, but I couldn't figure out the reason. What was going to be the benefit of seeing such a sight? When I started writing the Rashi on Chumash in Parshas Tetzaveh, I realized, oh, this was a lesson to me. In Tavshin Chof, 1960, the summer of 1960, the Rebbe went to visit Gan Yisrael for the second time. And the subject of the whole sicha was Eizehu Chacham Haloimid Mikol Adam. This is the only other time, as far as I know, other than Yud Shvat, Bosi Lagani, that the Rebbe taught a lesson with stories from each of the Rebbeim. A lesson from each of the Rebbeim. We're not going to go through the whole thing, but some of what I'm going to say is based on what the Rebbe talked about then, and other sources, as you'll hear. How does the Baal Shem Tov learn Pshat, says the Rebbe, in this Mishnah, Eizehu Chacham Haloimid Mikol Adam? Let's start off by learning from a Yid, similar to what you said before. Could you learn something from every Yid? Says the Baal Shem Tov. We're going to build this up. Says the Baal Shem Tov. A Yid has a neshama that's called Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam. Now, a Neir, a candle, or better, more accurately, a lamp, is made up of a bowl that holds the oil, and then the wick. Every Yid has both. Says the Baal Shem Tov. Sometimes a Yid is a Yid that's like the flame, giving off light and warmth. From such a Yid, you could learn Asei Toiv. Oh, I'm going to learn a bright lesson. You see that Yid? You see that kid? I'm going to learn a good lesson from him. Eizehu Chacham Haloimid Mikol Adam. I'm going to learn a good lesson from what he's doing. Sometimes a Yid is more like the keli of the lamp, the bowl, which is where the shadow comes from. So you have the flame casting a shadow on the table because of the bowl that it's in. Sometimes a Jew is only casting a shadow for now, which means it's only darkness, because that Yid is not yet holding by the level of teaching you something good. From him you learn, like you said, what not to do. From him you learn Sur Meira. So already here the Baal Shem Tov is putting it, and the way the Rebbe says, putting it even into the hands of a kid. You be the judge. You be the judge. How does the Baal Shem Tov do this? How does the Baal Shem Tov do this? The Baal Shem Tov asks on this Mishnah, Eizehu Chacham Alemid Mikol Adam. Asks the Baal Shem Tov, that means you're telling me that everyone could be a teacher. Everyone could be my teacher. If I have to learn from everyone, everyone could be my teacher. Is everyone qualified to be a teacher? Says the Baal Shem Tov, no, that's not what the Mishnah is saying. I have the obligation and the challenge to learn from everybody, but I need to use my judgment. From him I'm going to learn a positive lesson, and from him I'm going to learn a Sur Meira lesson. They're not my teacher. They're not my teacher. They're the messengers of such a lesson, and I'm charged with taking that lesson from them. Is that clear? The Mezitcha Magid went even a little further and said this could even apply to a goy. You could learn even a good lesson from a goy. And he proved it with a Torah. It says in the Torah that Esav is going to turn into Kash. V'hoya base Esav l'Kash. Meretz Hashem, the whole kingdom of Esav, which seeks to destroy the Yidden, are going to become nothing. They're going to become like straw on the floor. Rekhtav the Shaila, so the question is, if you want to talk about Esav disappearing, why don't you say they're going to turn into thin air? Why straw? Straw is something that still takes up space and it's still very real. So what did the Mizritchim Maggid answer? You could use straw for something very good. You think you could use straw for building, which is true. The example the Rebbe gave is, what they would do is they would spread straw on the field, burn the straw till it became ashes, and then that field became more fertile. They were able to grow better fruits and vegetables. Says the Mizritchim Maggid, even someone like Esav who seeks to destroy the Yidden, there's some good that you could extract from them. Even a guy who hates the Yidden, you could take out something good. The Baal Shem Tov himself taught this lesson, where the Baal Shem Tov with his students were once davening, were learning in shul, and a peasant came by with his horse and wagon and was stuck in the mud. So he came to the, he stuck his head into the Beis Medrash, and he said, "Who could help me schlep my horse and wagon out of the mud?" And the Hasidim said, "Sorry, it's too heavy for us. We can't manage this." So what did he tell them? Very good. Morzhish da nechotchish. Morzhish means you could, you just don't want to, so you think that you can't. Now whether or not they actually went and helped him, I don't know, because it's not part of the story. But the Baal Shem Tov said, let's learn a lesson from this guy. He's a guy, a peasant, but what he said is true. In Avodas Hashem, how many times does it happen that we say, I can't, or I don't have the willpower? Okay, it's Bazun de Shmuz. How do you get the willpower? Here it was just the concept, that if the concept is true, that sometimes, like this guy was demanding, if you really wanted, you could have done it. Think about learning a lesson from an Esav. You could learn a lesson from Yimach Shemay, from Hitler and the Nazis. The Rebbe said something similar, where the Nazis did not differentiate between Yidden. Could be the biggest Talmud Chacham and the biggest Freyak. To a Nazi, Yimach Shemay, a Yid is a Yid. That's a tremendous lesson. It could be they took extra pride in killing the Rabbanim. I would imagine that they did. But the fact is, they did not suffice with that. They went and searched out Yidden who were Frey. The Freyest Yid was a Yid. So we're learning a lesson from a Nazi, Yimach Shemay. But there's one Nakuda here. We are taking the lesson from them, but they're not becoming our teacher. This is extremely important. One of the most famous examples that we have as Chassidim, that you could learn a lesson from everyone. A hint, we just had it in Hayom Yom a few days ago. From a ganav, you could learn 7 lessons from a thief. Detail is important, swiftness, and most importantly, the Rebbe would repeat all the time, if you didn't succeed, try again. 7 lessons from a ganev, a thief. So Getzel Rabashkin, Shlomo Mordechai's son, he told me the following observation, which I think is brilliant. He says, so a ganev is the best teacher for these 7 traits. That's where Reb Zusha and the Poly learned them from. So how about we have this new Seder, okay, your student teachers. How about if we have, part of the curriculum is, we bring a ganav, we go up to Sing Sing or to one of these prisons upstate, and we get a professional thief. We have him come to Oli Teira and to Beis Rifka and all the other schools to teach the 7 lessons, you know, 7 good habits or whatever, the 7 lessons of how to succeed. Who's a better teacher than the ganav himself? You need the Reb Zusha to say, I learned it from a ganav. Get the ganav. What's the answer to that? The point is, we are meant to take lessons. Means, am I capable of taking the lesson from him? But I can't make him into my teacher. And that's a caution that we need. Am I going a little bit too far, where I'm now accepting this person as my teacher as well? There was someone told me this, it's not important who or where, but it's a true story, that They would bring down speakers to talk about Shleimus Aretz in their community. And who would they get in order to impress the crowd and to get people to really, you know, to be attracted to the events? They would get mostly former IDF soldiers or figures of the army, generals. And it was talking very, very effective events that they had. The person who ran some of these events, his son ended up going to the army. Now, the army, Chas v'Shalom, is not a bad thing. But where this boy was headed, he was a regular yeshiva bacher. He should have continued the whole yeshiva. He decided to drop out of yeshiva and go to the army. They dug a little bit, the father dug a little bit. What was the story behind it? Why did his son leave yeshiva and get so fired up to go to the Israeli army? And he realized it was these events. His son came to the event. And he actually didn't hear the whole speech. He wasn't so taken by the speech or Shleimus Aretz. He kind of missed the point. He didn't take the lesson. He only took the teacher. He said, I want to be like that. He heard the stories of the guns and the fights and the army tanks and the missions. And that excited him. So you put up the guy to teach the lesson. It's not right for every single crowd. That, you know, I don't want to give identifying details. It's not necessary. But for that crowd, especially with such boys in the crowd, they learned more than they should have. And instead of taking the lesson, they accepted that person as their teacher. Now, let's be realistic. We live in a time, the information age. There's so much available to us today. Books, Pashut books, are available much more than they ever were. Sfarim also. The internet. WhatsApps. There's a lot of information being thrown out at us. How do we sift through these things? Things are thrown out at us. Eizu chacham aloy mid mikol adam. But to take only the lesson and know what is good, what's not good, and not go too far. So you could look at this, and you could go in two extremes. Go in two extremes. One extreme is wide open. Eizehu chacham haleimid mikol adam. Everybody has something good to teach us. Everyone has something good to teach us. Let's just be wide open and learn from everybody. Then we could fall into that pit of turning the wrong people into our teachers. The other extreme is shut the door tight. Don't learn from anyone unless you're 100% sure that they are perfectly qualified. Comes the Baal Shem Tov and says there's a middle path. We are not becoming their students. We are charging ourselves with finding the Hashgacha Pratis in everything. If there's something that's good to be taken, we're going to take it. So the challenge becomes ours. We have to be strong enough. Sometimes we are strong enough, then we should use it. Sometimes not. We're going to talk about this. And some of us are strong enough, some of us are not. The Rebbe wrote a letter to the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, the Sephardic chief rabbi, Rav Uziel. At the end of the letter, the Rebbe writes to him, I'm going to make a short observation, although it's very important. The observation is like this. He says, I read your writings, and I noticed that in your writings, you quote a certain book. Says the Rebbe like this. You are capable of reading that book, sifting through the book, and taking out what's good, and leaving what's no good, taking the peidi and leaving the klipa, like the mayor did. But your readers are not necessarily capable of that. Now, if they're going to read your book, and they're going to see the books that you quote by name, even though you're writing about these people, that you're refuting what they say, you don't agree with what they say, but your readers won't be able to necessarily pick up on this. Your readers will take it as an example of, oh, if the Rav has this book in his house, probably an okay book to have. Maybe I should have it in my house. So the Rebbe is telling this to the Rav HaRashi of Eretz Yisrael, how careful you need to be. That not everyone at all times is capable of taking out something good from a place that's so tricky. One second. There's another letter. This is, the date is Tavshin Lamed Gimel, 1970, well, Teves. I guess it's still 1972. To a group of soldiers. And one of the Rebbe writes like this: I notice at the end of your letter that you are interested in writing to Frum girls from overseas because you're very interested to learn about their culture, Yiddish culture in other countries. Says the Rebbe, it's understood that this is a tremendously good thing for Yidden to learn from each other, and they'll also be able to learn from you, based on the Mishnah, Ezehu Chacham, Halemid Mikol Adam. That means everybody has something good that they could teach and they could learn from. However, from the fact that you emphasize in your letter that you plan on writing only to girls, these were boy soldiers. The fact that you're only writing to girls is a worry for me. That I don't approve of. Because the purpose of writing is to learn only about the culture of Yiddishkeit and the good. But I'm afraid that because of this complication of boys writing to girls, the conversations will go to other things, and it may end up complicating Shidduchim, and these are topics that are too serious to be discussed through letters. So what's the Rebbe telling these people? The Mishnah says, Eizehu chacham aloimeid mikol adam. But I'm telling you, no, don't learn from these girls. Is that what the Rebbe is saying? The Rebbe is saying, in your position, if you write to these girls, you're going to be taking more than what you need. You're not just going to be taking a lesson in Jewish life and society in America or in England. You're going to be taking much more than you're going to be taking a relationship with a girl, which at this point in your life is not a good thing. So Eizehu Chacham Aleimid Mikol Adam does have some qualifications. The Rebbe said it is Sicha Tavshin Chai, Yud Beis Tamas, Tavshin Yud Ches, 1968, with a fiery Sicha about giving respect to Rabbonim. That the Balabatim should make sure to let the Rabbonim say their opinion and not try to control and manipulate the Rabbonim. The Rebbe says like this: there are Yidden about whom it says Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael Hu, and we know what the Rambam says about reform, but there are still three lessons we could learn from the reform movement. Lesson number one: they don't talk during Chazaras Hashatz and Kriyas HaTorah. Now, laughingly, the Rebbe said, it could be there's no noise the rest of davening either. But at least during davening and Kriyas HaTorah, there's no talking. Lesson number two: even if they have a deficit in their budget, they do not use bingo, ping pong, or cards as a fundraiser because it's not appropriate to do in the shul. Lesson number three to take from the reform movement, the most important lesson, says the Rebbe, is the respect that they give to their rabbis. So now, what if someone's going to come and say, aha, reform seems to have it right. How about we go, and we're going to send a delegation to go observe the reform temples. How about we model a Chabad house after a reform temple? That's not what the Rebbe was saying. The reform is not meant to be a lesson to us. We could take a lesson from them. The Rebbe trusts us that that's what we're going to understand. Eizehu Chacham Aleimid Mikol Adam will take what's meant to be taken, and we're not going to take what's meant not to be taken, and we certainly won't take the teacher as a teacher. They didn't become our teacher. They actually just printed a similar thing in my story from Jem. She was a shluchah in Sharfstein in Cincinnati, and she asked the Rebbe about making a Montessori school. And one of the nekudas there is, the Rebbe says, you could take techniques. don't take the philosophy. And this is extremely important, especially if you're in the position of teaching, setting up systems in schools, or even in our own homes. There may be some very good things out there. We need to ask ourselves, am I equipped to actually separate what's good and what's no good? That's number one. And number two, am I going to go a little bit too far and accept the whole ideology or accept this author as my guide? Is it going to shape the way I think or not? Or am I capable of just taking what's good? So let's go back to Reb Zalman Deitch. We left him in the car. Probably about the same amount of time, about a half hour, 45 minute drive. So what did he do? He turned to his son and he says, Mendele, the Baal Shem Tov teaches that everything a Yid sees and everything a Yid hears is a Hira and Avedas Hashem. Sometimes we learn what we should do, and sometimes we learn what we shouldn't do. Today we learned the lesson of what not to do. This story could and should be studied, and especially because this Mendele Deitch told me personally that he remembers breathing such a sigh of relief when he heard those words from his father. His father, in such a brilliant way, managed to address the issue, you know, took the elephant in the room, and addressed it in such a simple, positive way, where it validated his feeling that he was so disturbed by what he saw. It opened up the conversation between him and his father, and it gave him this guiding principle in life. The world is not a jungle. The world is not a free-for-all. If I saw something, even if it's disturbing, there's something good to be taken out of it. Eizo chacham, haloimid mikol adam. Sometimes I learn from the candle, I learn a good thing. Sometimes I learn from the shadow, I learn what to stay away from. And I'm always careful to be sure, am I taking the good or am I becoming a recipient of whatever they're offering me? Am I the taker, or am I now becoming also a student and lifting this person up to be my teacher? I think we could